This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, November 29th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. The push for rural broadband hasn't gone very well. To the extent that governments promise that the deployment of high-speed internet will be cost-effective, there's really not that much evidence either way. That from Will Reinhardt of the Center for Growth and Opportunity. He says the claims about workforce development are similarly misleading, and the public ought to be more skeptical of claims about the power of rural broadband.
There was a big push to get broadband into rural areas. And I can tell you from the experience of visiting my father in southwest Missouri that it is frustrating to visit a home that does not have hot and cold running internet.
Yeah.
And so I definitely feel his pain. And he's definitely the person I think of when I think of people who are stuck using 3G connections in order to send and receive pictures of grandkids.
Yeah, like my grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
That stinks and I don't like it. But at the same time, I'm just highly skeptical of government attempts to sort of goose that industry or, in the worst case scenario, take charge of the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen a lot of states try to have their plans to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of them worked particularly well?
It depends on what you mean, because the big concern that most local policymakers have is that broadband should help local economies and boost productivity. The unfortunate side of broadband is that those things don't actually happen. What ends up happening instead is that broadband comes into a region and it shifts the markets. So it'll shift the labor market, it'll shift the retail market, but it doesn't seem to do all that much in helping the actual local productivity or the local educational opportunities. Those things come with computers, with cell phones, with all the other ancillary connected technologies, not just broadband itself.
Well, I guess what I meant was just the actual deployment of it at a cost-effective basis to all these people. Is there much evidence pointing to whether or not that works well when the government's directing it?
There isn't actually very much evidence. There's not really good studies one way or the other. The striking thing about this and some of the work that I'm trying to do is actually to answer those questions, to answer those fundamental questions about how good government-run programs are as compared to, say, state programs. So states spend a lot of money as well. The federal government has spent big chunks of money, specifically in 2009 during the last stimulus. And there's a whole bunch of other projects that are typically going on year to year. So the FCC has a number of programs that they support, broadband, as well as the Department of Agriculture. But a lot of those really just don't show huge, big impacts on, as I said, productivity. There are some clear changes when it comes to other sorts of markets, which I think are important to highlight. And there are obviously a lot of areas that don't have broadband that probably should have broadband. And there's a lot of reasons for that. In particular, I'm sure the area where your father lives is probably a very, it's not a dense area, I would assume. Southwest Missouri, having been there before and having vacation there sometimes, that area is, there's just not a lot of people. And so it's difficult to build any sort of technology to that area.
That is not, you need the population in order to make it cost
exactly.
effective.
Yeah.
So you've alluded to this several times of what people expect broadband to deliver.
Yeah.
And it's compared frequently to like the TVA,
rural
electrification,
yeah,
people
yeah.
having access to light bulbs in their homes. And, for a lot of America, 100 or more years ago, that was a substantial problem.
Yeah, it was a transformative for many areas. And that is the case.
But yes. Broadband.
Yes, is not like the rural electricity. Electricity really is what economists call a general purpose technology or a GPT. So it it clearly transforms productivity in the areas that it goes into. That's really, really easy to find, even with the TVA and a lot of the rural electrification administration efforts, the REA. You can see this pretty big impact come into rural areas very, very quickly after electricity comes in. That's not as easy to see when it comes to broadband. And, you know, I keep on harping on this issue of adoption, but it really is the important part of all of this. We have to have computers, we have to have cell phones, we have to use these technologies. So just getting it into the ground, I mean, that's obviously important, but the bigger task and the thing that we really need to figure out, and I don't know that there's any real good ideas or programs or solutions, is that we need to get people using these technologies and trying to adopt them into their daily lives if we want to transform these economies.
So what do we see? You mentioned retail.
Retail,
and employment.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So when we do see that when a broadband service comes into a region that previously didn't have that broadband service, that oftentimes people in that local market will start substituting out local retail for Amazon, for Walmart, for delivery services. What that means is that, in fact, in a lot of instances, we see this transition away from local retail to something that's closer to e-retail. So those retail markets clearly do shift. We also do see, and to be very clear, the big impact that traditionally we've seen with broadband coming into a region is for farmers, because that increases their ability to sell their products in other places. So the ability to increase sales does sometimes occur and can be seen pretty clearly in a number of different industries.
Or whether to take your goods to this market versus that market.
Exactly, right. You're finding out where the better markets are. And so you have better information about where those markets are. So that's at least a short-term impact that's often seen.
So a lot of people that I talk to, because Kentucky has, and anybody who follows this issue will be familiar with Kentucky Wired, which has not, well, I'll let you tell me if you like, but it hasn't performed particularly well.
Yeah.
And, but the hopes that I see from a lot of people are, you know, out in the far eastern part of the state, there's, you know, limited connectivity. Mm-hmm. If we get connected, maybe we can help attract back a lot of people who otherwise have moved away to denser urban areas, people who, in light of a pandemic, have decided to move out of their densely populated urban area. They conduct their work and use their current salary to really brighten up an area that they otherwise would not have those kinds of people there.
Yeah. So traditionally, and COVID could change this, and I'm waiting to, you know, update my own view of the world and expectations given COVID. But traditionally, the way that this happened is that you've seen exurbs benefit much more than areas that aren't connected to a large metro region. That being said, to be very, very clear about this, that it's not the areas already have to be connected to a large metro area or have to be on the edge of a large metropolitan area. There has to be some other big pull, both in a labor market and just a general economy, for those areas to continue to develop. So the exurbs do in fact seem to develop and probably do need quicker broadband. But the area that is completely unconnected, that is, you know, out in the middle of the woods or in the foothills, those areas aren't going to, or at least traditionally, those areas really didn't need broadband in the way, or at least they didn't attract the same sort of, you know, creatives in the way that the exurbs, which are just on the edge of the city, actually typically did.
What do you see between now and whenever about the deployment of this type of broadband technology for rural people? Is it the future? Is it wires laid in the ground? Is it 5G, 6G, 7G in the future? What should people who are currently waiting on this to arrive so that they can be entertained, go shopping, connect with people elsewhere? What does that look like?
I think the future does look bright for a lot of areas, and it really does. And I hate to say this, that local politics matters, but the locality matters a lot. some areas I think are going to be, and it's pretty clear that some regions are just never going to be able to be provided a fiber service. We actually know about 2% of the United States, very similar to about the 2% of the United States that doesn't have electricity, that those regions, this last 2% is almost impossible to get to. So those areas probably would be best served by some sort of low Earth satellite. Starlink might be a good option for them. In the middle, you know, in this other region where we see that there are gaps, there is a lot that's being done. There's a lot that's happening with CARES money. There's a lot that's happening with the infrastructure bill. There's a lot of money that's going into these regions. So in fact, what I think that people should be focused on is getting those programs right, considering the money's already coming and the money's already going out. You need to get those programs right to figure out the areas that direly need service, the areas that don't have service right now. You should be clearly focused on them rather than building new broadband services in areas in towns that already do have service.
And to what extent should governments take a hands-off approach with respect to what is going to come to an area that is covering those areas efficiently, where there are profits to be had for the industry players to try to provide this kind of service to a whole region? You know, what should the interplay there be?
That's a complex question. And again, I hate to say that it needs to be locally determined, but it really does need to be locally determined. That there are clearly cases where a government grant could come in and kind of help that initial spark of the creation of the network. But there are a lot of areas and a lot of places where the services will be somewhat profitable. I mean, they will make positive profits, but they're not going to be overtly profitable. They're not going to be amazing, great areas for these services. So the way to really think about this and the way that leaders should really be considering this is to create clear guardrails over their current projects and grant processes, target the most needy, and figure out ways and methods. And these are kind of tried and true. Figure out ways and methods to make sure that those services and that money goes to the most needy, and then kind of work from there. Some areas probably are going to need other help as well. And, you know, as the other thing that I keep on highlighting is the need for adoption programs. So as much as we are talking about getting broadband into the ground, into the most needy areas, governments, and especially state governments, I think, could be thinking much more practically about how to get adoption efforts organized. They can work with local, you know, farmers bureaus. They can work with the commissioners. There's a lot that really, I think, can be done at the local level for adoption measures. And it's those two things that are really going to be necessary to ensure that everyone is connected to the broadband that wants to be connected to broadband.
Will Reinhardt is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.